Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Indira Lakshmanan. We're continuing our coverage now of the Democratic National Convention kicking off today in Philadelphia. Earlier this afternoon from the Convention Center, we spoke with U.S. Congressman Michael Capuano. He represents the 7th District of Massachusetts, and he was an early superdelegate for Hillary Clinton. The GOP convention last week was riven by conflict in Cleveland, an open floor revolt, allegations of plagiarism by Donald Trump's wife, and a non-endorsement of Trump from runner-up Ted Cruz. The Democrats promised that theirs, in contrast, would be an orderly show of unity, but they're already coping with a scandal before the curtain even goes up tonight. Democratic National Committee emails leaked over the weekend reveal some party officials tried to sabotage Bernie Sanders' run for president. The party chairwoman was forced to announce her resignation on the eve of the convention. So we started by asking Congressman Capuano how the Democratic Party can recover from this latest embarrassment.
Well, I think it's already started to recover when Ms. Schultz decided to step down. Look, they made a mistake. They got caught at it, which I think is, I'm glad they got caught at it. The party should not have been involved in these things. And I think that okay, it's done. I hope that people now involved with the party going forward will understand that we meant what we said when the party should be a neutral arbiter. I think that they shouldn't be involved in open primaries, and I think it's going to be a long time till you see anything like that again. And I don't think this is going to help, but what everything's said and done, I do think it's a speed bump, not a mountain.
Well, a challenge for this convention is going to be to present Hillary Clinton, who's one of the most famous, but also in a lot of people's eyes, divisive figures in U.S. politics of the last quarter century, in a fresh new light. How do you think the convention should be going about trying to accomplish that?
Well, my hope is that first and foremost, we have to make sure that our party is together moving forward. That includes the Sanders people and anyone else who has any discomfort with Mrs. Clinton. Look, I don't think most of us look for the perfect candidate when we vote for people running for office. I think we look for the best candidate we can get, and especially now the primaries are over. Hillary Clinton won. It's done. I think every Democrat now has to look in the mirror and say, okay, maybe I don't agree with her on these things, but compared to Donald Trump, this is the easiest choice I've had in my lifetime. And that being the case, okay, moving forward, let's get our family on the same page, at least in the same chapter. And I think that's going to happen. I think it's already started to happen and will continue to happen. And then go out and maybe then we have to convince people who are not necessarily party advocates. That's where the real election is, and that's where it will be over the next several months.
Well, Hillary Clinton's strength, one could argue, is her, you know, huge amount of experience. She's been Secretary of State. She's been Senator. She's been First Lady. She's done a lot of things in her life. So, I mean, I see it as you've got this establishment candidate running in an election, a sort of status quo candidate who's running in a change election. And how do you sort of help people see the value of someone with a lot of experience as a Democrat, if you value that experience, even though it's a context where voters want change?
Well, I think voters always want change. I've been involved in a lot of elections. I have never been involved in an election where people said, you know what, everything is just fine. We don't want to change anything. And I think that's no different here than any other time. People who just want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, they're going to vote for Trump, and they'll, you know, if he wins, they will find out what that means. I think more voters are adults and mature that understand change is nothing wrong with it. That's a good thing to want. The question is, what type of change, what degree of change, and what are the candidates that are running that can win? Of the ones who are running, which one do I think comes closest to my definition of the term? Not perfection, not agree with me 100% of the time. And I think, you know, given all that, I think in the final analysis, sure, we want change. And I'm not going to argue that Donald Trump doesn't offer a greater degree of change. I think his change is too dramatic, too extreme. I don't think the average American voter will support that degree and that extremity of so-called change.
Some diehard loyalists to Bernie Sanders are still bitter about the outcome of the primary season, even though Senator Sanders himself has endorsed Hillary Clinton. Now these leaked DNC emails are making them feel even worse. What does the Clinton campaign need to do this week in Philadelphia to get them on board?
I think most importantly, to respect their differences and respect their viewpoint. Look, I've won elections and I've lost elections, and winning is always better. But I think that the worst possible thing you can be is a sore winner. I don't think Hillary Clinton has been that. I don't think she will be that. I don't think her supporters are that. I understand where the diehard Sanders supporters are coming from. But I also know that when they wake up tomorrow, next week, next month, and they look in the mirror, cannot imagine any of them can vote for Donald Trump and say that that's somehow advancing the agenda they claim to so strongly support.
Hillary Clinton, of course, rolled out her choice for vice president this past weekend, Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia. How much of a difference do you think a vice presidential candidate actually makes? And what do you think about Tim Kaine? Is he a net positive for the Democratic ticket?
I think he's a net positive, but a lot of that has to do with I don't think that vice presidential candidates make that much difference. People vote for the top of the ticket, not the second person. I think the second person can drag you down if they are a negative. I think we saw it a few years ago with Sarah Palin. We've seen it in the past with other candidates. 95% of the people will be voting for either Hillary or Donald. They will not be voting for Tim Kaine or Mike Pence.
Let me ask you, Donald Trump was shown in several polls to have gotten a bump out of his convention last week. Of course, this is typical. Most candidates do get some sort of a lift in the polls out of their conventions. There's a new CNN poll that shows Hillary Clinton with 45%, trailing Donald Trump with 48%. Do you think that she's going to be able to make up that ground this week?
Yes, I do. I, as you just said, that's a bump out of the convention. Hell, I watch more of the Republican convention this year than I've ever watched a Republican convention in my life. And because, let's be honest, I mean, Donald Trump, I certainly don't want him as president, but he's got some entertainment value. You can't deny the fact that a lot of us see Donald Trump as a very entertaining figure in the entire Republican convention with Ted Cruz and what crazy thing do we think Trump might say next. Those are attractive things as far as, you know, trying to watch a TV set. At the same time, when everything's said and done, I think the bump coming out of the Democratic convention will be comparable, and that's when the real work starts for all of us.
So tonight we're going to hear from two of the highest profile New Englanders in Democratic politics, of course, Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont himself and Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, who some people said might have been on the short list for Hillary Clinton's choice for VP. What do you think we can expect to hear from them tonight?
I fully expect that their speeches will be exactly what they have been saying for the last several weeks now, is that, yes, there are some differences. I think Bernie will focus on some of the differences, maybe a lot more than Senator Warren. But when everything's said and done, we are more together than we are apart. And I think both of them will make strong cases to go vote for Hillary Clinton.
I want to ask you about the Massachusetts delegation breakfast this morning. What was the talk about? What was the chat? I'm sure people are excited at the beginning of a convention, but also there must have been some sense of frustration over this DNC leak that some people are linking to Russian hackers.
Yeah, it, like everybody else, of course, you know, you have a whole bunch of political activists in one place. You're going to talk about politics. And, you know, look, nobody's going to pretend that we like what has happened. It was wrong, and, you know, it's unfortunate. But it's not the big deal. Somebody made a mistake, and they paid for it with their job. And it's not good. No one's going to defend it. All that being said, the next question is, how do we move forward from here? And it's actually pretty easy. I think we come up with a new leader for the party, and we get through this convention and get Hillary Clinton elected. That's the most important thing we're focused on, and that was most of the discussion at the breakfast this morning. I spoke at that breakfast, and my topic pretty much was really focusing on the future and how Donald Trump is not a pushover candidate. One of my fears is that a lot of Democrats may think that he's so far out of the box that this will be an easy election. And I think that is dead wrong. I think this is going to be a difficult election. Donald Trump has tapped into a feeling across this country that is a little ugly at times, a little bit difficult, but it's real. And for anyone to deny that real emotional, gut-wrenching feeling that he brings out in people may not turn into a victory is a big mistake. I think we have to go into this election believing, I do, that this is going to be a very tough election and we have to work very hard to win it.
So don't rest on your laurels and really be alert. Don't assume a win. It sounds like you're warning Democrats in Massachusetts
very, very much
and all
so. Very much so. And, again, one of my fears is that because Donald Trump is so far out of the mainstream, I think some Democrats might be tempted to simply say, look, nobody's going to vote for that crazy guy. And my answer says, well, I think you need to get out of your little bubble and go talk to some other people. I've heard way too many of my friends mention that they might consider it. And a lot of people, I think, are considering it quietly. And that, to me, whenever you run an election, presuming you're going to win, that's a recipe for disaster.
Well, that's partly the, sort of, even if it's a lack of enthusiasm, the interest in Donald Trump is partly among people who just don't like Hillary Clinton. And my last question for you really is a personal one about Hillary Clinton, the woman who you know. A lot of people have said that Hillary Clinton is very different as a candidate from how she is as an official when she's actually in office or actually doing a job. She herself has said it. I covered her for 5 years as a candidate in 2008 and for 4 years as a Secretary of State, and I observed that. So tell us about your observations of her as a person. You know, is she different from the image that she gives out to the public?
I don't know that different is the word that I use. I think less guarded is the word that I would use. I mean, you know, look, her and her husband have been through more public scrutiny than any two people I have ever met or could ever imagine. And having been a person who's lived in the bubble to a certain extent, I understand that. I'm a little different. First of all, I haven't lived in that degree of bubble. And second of all, I don't really care about it that much, and I just let it all hang out. But that gets me in trouble on a regular basis. Hillary is a lot more guarded than many people expect. In private, she's less guarded, and I think that's a good thing. I think people want to see a bit of your soul. It is difficult for the Clintons to do. I think that if you want to be president, you have to be more guarded. And number one. Number two is, I think when everything's said and done, I mean, yeah, people want to feel comfortable with their candidate. I think they will feel reasonably comfortable with Hillary. I don't see how they could possibly feel comfortable with Donald Trump. I mean, I laugh at people say, I'd like to have a beer with him. It's like, no, you wouldn't, because you'd end up paying for it. and you have a good chance of him calling you names or, you know, poking you in the eye. How is that fun?
So you think she's going to let more of herself show in this in her speech this week?
I hope so. I think so. And I think not just of herself, but also of her vision for this country. I mean, she's got a new ad out now showing children watching Donald Trump, some of his more extreme statements. I think it's a fantastic ad. I think it shows not just what Hillary thinks. She thinks through the eyes of our children and our future. But I think it also shows her vision. She cares what children will think about this country and about the adults who lead it. And not just children. I think it obviously speaks to a much deeper part of all of us. So I think the answer is she will show more of herself. And I think just as importantly, she'll show more of her vision for this country.
Congressman Michael Capuano, thanks so much for joining us from the Democratic Convention in Philly.
Thanks, Indira. Nice speaking with you.
So we just heard from a Clinton superdelegate. Now we're going to turn to a Sanders supporter. Senator Bernie Sanders spoke to his delegates earlier this afternoon at the convention in Philadelphia. He urged party unity, but some of his delegates responded with a chant showing they just weren't ready. Joining us now from Philadelphia is Sanders delegate and Massachusetts Connecticut State Campaign Director for Sanders' presidential run, Paul Feeney. Feeney is also the legislative director for the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local Union 2222. Paul, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me on. This is great.
Absolutely. So, Paul, you were at that speech this afternoon by Bernie Sanders. What was it like to be there?
The atmosphere was electric. I tell you, Senator Sanders has no shortage of passionate supporters. And, you know, we've seen that over this past year, the crowds that he's brought out to his rallies, a lot of young people, a lot of folks that have felt disenfranchised from the process. And, you know, to see them not only in the same room in Philadelphia now, but just to look around that room and to think that they traveled thousands of miles to come here and support Senator Sanders still, even at this late time in the presidential primary cycle is incredible. And it's a testament not only to Senator Sanders and the work that he's done over his career, but really to his message and the values and ideals that he's been talking about across this country.
Now, some of his supporters booed when he called on them to support Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine. Were you one of those loyalists who booed his call for party unity?
I was certainly not. There was a few boos, and I think that was obvious to folks that were watching or listening. You know, look, this is tough. Primaries are tough. Democracy is messy at times, and you know, when you get into a tough primary like we just had over the last year, you know, these things happen, and it's tough for people to come around. I think there's a, kind of moments of transition, and there's a lot of folks on the Sanders team and supporters that are, you know, kind of going through a tough couple of days here, trying to figure out where they're going to be going forward now that Senator Sanders is going to speak tonight. We'll call the roll tomorrow, and really this part of the primary is over. You know, the Democratic Party is going to have their nominee. It's obvious it's not going to be Senator Sanders, and I think that's tough for some people to take that put in so many hours and so much time. The difference with the folks on the Sanders team and the Sanders supporters throughout this country is the amount of hours and just volunteer activity that they put in for this campaign. I've been working on campaigns for over 20 years, and I've never seen anything like it. People were dedicated. They gave up their time. They gave up their homes. They brought people in. They brought in staffers to live there. They made phone calls. They knocked on doors. You know, so this is going to be a couple of transition days, but I think at the end of the day, you'll find that despite a few people booing when Senator Sanders spoke about Secretary Clinton today, the majority of people here in Philadelphia this week understand that we need to unify, we need to come together, we have a clear and simple choice, and we need to do what we can to elect a Democratic nominee.
Well, let me ask you, Paul, because there were these hacked Democratic National Committee emails that were leaked over the weekend showing some Democratic Party leaders tried to undermine Sanders' presidential bid. Sanders made only a passing reference to the disgraced DNC chairwoman, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was forced to step down last night. He indicated that he has moved on. So I want to ask you, should his supporters move on, too?
Well, I think Senator Sanders, it's been obvious over the last year that he is a person of the highest integrity in class. And, you know, for him to do that and say that and you know, really have the intestinal fortitude to go out and say that publicly, to say we can move on, despite the fact that he just ran a tough primary the last year, it's just a testament to who he is as a person. And do I think the supporters should move on? I do, but I also think that we need to make sure that doesn't happen again and that people are held accountable. What we saw with those emails is atrocious. It's something that you know, we've been talking about for the last year. Supporters across the country have felt that there was not an impartial party, and we saw it in those emails. But I think, you know, as Congressman Capuano pointed to earlier at our delegation breakfast, you know, I think they are taking the steps necessary. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is out. I think that's a good first step. But, you know, we really need to move on. We need to make sure that we come together this week and elect a Democrat into the White House. But those emails, it's just, you know, there was obviously a leadership problem in that DNC, and I think it's important now for Sanders supporters to become a part of the process, to stay engaged in the party, to make sure that doesn't happen again.
You are also a member of the Rules Committee at the DNC, which met this Saturday before the convention. A big item was this proposal to eliminate superdelegates, who are, of course, the voting members of the DNC who are not selected by primaries and caucuses. Here's Senator Sanders this afternoon talking about Democratic superdelegates.
And by the way, while it is true, we did not get many superdelegates, we won 46% of the pledged delegates.
That proposal to eliminate the superdelegates was rejected by the Rules Committee on Saturday. I want to hear from you. Do you think there are any chances in future conventions that you could eventually get rid of superdelegates, which were seen by some Sanders supporters to have swayed the election towards Hillary Clinton?
I do. I think we've taken a path towards that. I think we've taken a significant path towards that this past weekend on the Rules Committee. You know, Senator Sanders and his supporters for over the past year, we've been talking about this. The fact that we were going into cities and towns, communities all over this country, engaging new voters and having to answer to an 18-year-old voter for the first time why there's already votes cast for somebody else in this election in his state or her state, why their vote doesn't matter as much as a superdelegate, an insider in the party. You know, people don't think about politics, they feel politics. And you know, that's tough when people feel like the game is already rigged against them. The superdelegate system needs reform. We would have liked to have gotten rid of it completely on Saturday at the Rules Committee. We didn't have the votes to do that. But I think at the end of the day, because of Senator Sanders and because of the cooperation with the Clinton campaign, we came out with a great plan to put together a unity commission to kind of look at this, to examine what's worked in the past, and to continue to do that, and fix what hasn't worked. And I think the superdelegate system is definitely on the chopping block and needs to be fixed going forward.
All right, well, let's talk turkey on the issues here. How has Bernie Sanders managed to affect the Democratic platform this year? And what do you want to hear out of Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine's mouths when they speak this week that will really convince you that they have absorbed some of the messages from this political revolution, this movement that Sanders said he was leading?
It's certainly a movement, certainly a political revolution. And I'm happy to be here in Philadelphia, where I think we're going to talk about the most progressive platform that the Democratic Party has ever adopted here. This is something that we've been talking about for a year, that this campaign wasn't built on personality. It was built on principles. It was built on values and ideals, and those values and ideals are democratic values and ideals. It's not a radical idea, the things that we've been talking about. So, you know, we were able to, because of Senator Sanders and because of his supporters and the millions of people across this country that are now engaged in this process, we're able to move that platform to a progressive place. You know, it's certainly not an ideal one, but that's politics. That's what you do. You get together and you figure out, you know, kind of what works for the majority of people. So I think we're in a good place. I'm happy that that platform is being adopted this week. I know Secretary Clinton has adopted some of the positions that Senator Sanders was pushing for over the last year, so I think that's a victory, and we need to make sure that we continue to push for economic justice, for affordable health care, affordable education, those sorts of things. So I think we're going to hear a lot about that this week, not only from Senator Sanders, but also from Secretary Clinton.
All right. Well, in the few moments we have left, a last question. What do you anticipate Bernie Sanders is going to say tonight to rouse up the convention? And as we talked about, he's repeatedly said that his run was a revolution, a movement. How do you see that revolution going forward into November and beyond?
Well, I think that's exactly what we're going to hear from Senator Sanders tonight. You know, when he set out to run for the Democratic nominee for president, he set out to make this party better. He set out to make the Democratic Party stronger, not only for this November, but for years to come. And to do that, you have to set in place a movement. You have to have a revolution. He's going to get up tonight, and he's going to talk to his supporters and people throughout this country and say that we can coalesce, we can get behind these values and ideals, and we can push not only from outside the party, which has been done for years, but now within the Democratic Party. In times like this, I told the Rules Committee the other day, you can get bitter or you can get better. And I think we've gotten better as a party. We've got a better nominee because of it. And I think Senator Sanders tonight will hit a home run and get this crowd fired up and ready to win in November.
Paul Feeney is a Sanders delegate from Massachusetts, and he was state director of the Sanders campaign for Connecticut and Massachusetts. Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Stay with us. Coming up, we're going to be talking about what happens when Massachusetts government employees find themselves on an Islamic State hit list. I'm Indira Lakshmanan, and this is Radio Boston.